Good evening, folks. Here we are, Wednesday, June 12th. I should start calling this our internet church service tonight. I will be continuing to add to the website that visual concept so people might get the hint to come along here and maybe from such turn away, but it's just something I'm trying to add to it here. So here we are. We're looking at part six of issues of life, the daily issues of life that young people or older people that who are not in the know don't know how to explain the way things are going, because things are really going downhill fast. And there's a lot of people that they know of God, they believe in God, and they know that they go to church a lot, and they do all the stuff they're supposed to do to please God according to their reverend and their minister and their priest and everything. They pray for their confessions and all that, and they still see, they pray for this nation. They've gathered around the flagpoles and gathered in the barns and the whole thing. And they've done their part in praying, and they just don't know what to say about stuff. Just like Paul says, which is a very good section of a chapter in Acts, where he says, the men of Mars Hill, they worship an unknown God. And that, since I've read that years ago, that continues to grow with me, that's truly a serious issue to today. It's not that God isn't in the conversation, and it isn't even that Jesus isn't in the conversation. They talk about him all the time. But they just don't understand what the truth is. They don't. He's just totally an unknown God to them. So we're just going to keep going through the summer here and talk about things that maybe might help us, help others, not that they're ever going to ask us again. And we know that if people ask us these questions, or they mention these comments, and we throw in our comment about something, we know we're just going to make them mad. We become their enemy, like Paul says. So what do you do? So tonight we're going to look at the walk, W-A-L-K. I had a new reader who found us from South Dakota here a couple of weeks ago, and wrote and asked the question, "What do I mean when I talk about the walk, W-A-L-K, not W-O-K in a Chinese restaurant, or manganese or whatever those things are here, Buddhist or whatever?" But so let's just look at the word walk. And there really isn't much to preach about it. There's a lot of verses on it. And again, this is not something I come up with. We're just looking at the scriptures, and they speak for themselves, and they speak to us themselves. And like it says, they know the thoughts and intents of our heart. And they're that live. So let's see if we can explain the walk in such a fashion that if somebody were to listen to this, maybe they'll understand what we're talking about when we talk about Paul. So first, let's go to where we need to show people. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We look at verse 1. And that is where Paul says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." So we see right there that we are to follow Paul. And he's going to follow Christ. Now, how is he going to follow Christ? Is he going to follow Christ the way that he's been taught by the other apostles? Is he going to follow Christ in the manner that Jesus told the Jews, the Beatitudes, and all that sort of stuff? Sermon on the Mount and those things. Or, as we read from Paul's writings, where Jesus met him face to face and told him his mission as such, then that will be what will determine Paul's following of Christ. So, in order for us to follow Paul as he follows Christ, we need to learn from Paul what he passes on to us, and that is called, in many cases, the walk. Paul talks about the walk. Now, modern Christianity, as we turn to Philippians chapter 3, modern Christianity doesn't really seem to care about a walk, W-A-L-K, because Jesus loves everybody, Jesus is non-judgmental, and he forgives everybody anything anyway, And he's going to tell them in their heart if what they're doing or what they're wearing or what they're saying is wrong. And as long as he doesn't say anything to their heart, then it must be okay. And if they want to go to the Catholic scene, then whatever it is that they feel is wrong, they just confess it anyway and be done with it. So what's the problem there, kind of a thing. So there's what we're talking about here. We have Christians today where the walk, W-A-L-K, is just not important to them anymore. Now, if we back up in time of America before we had to make this big emphasis on Paul's rightly dividing the word of truth and really put an emphasis on Paul's teachings and actually discount the Gospels in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, chapters 1 through 8 of Acts and Hebrews to Jude, before we had to make a big emphasis on that, the Great Commission was not a big issue. People, that they had the Bible, they believed it to be the Word of God, and I heard a preacher say, which I'm sure was true, that back in those earlier days of America, if they didn't read the Bible, they knew they weren't reading the Word of God. They knew that anyway. At least they believed that, if they believed anything. So we have Christians today who don't really find the walk, W-A-L-K, all that important. Because if it was, Jesus would tell them something about their music, what they're wearing, or where they're going, or whatever. And we know Paul says their conscience of a Gentile is seared, so they're not going to pick up on anything like that. So we know we have to turn to the Word of God, the Scriptures. And we find out that the walk is very important. If we're going to follow Paul, we're going to follow Paul's walk. That's his ways, and we'll show you why he says walk as well. Now, then we look to the Bible guys, the King James Bible guys, who preach the fire into the walk, which means they have to do everything correct, perfectly, without error, or they need to confess it, which is nothing but Catholicism there. And if they don't confess it, or if they don't stop doing it, then God is going to severely, the severity of God, is going to severely deal with them, depending upon the severity of the sin that they're doing wrong, or how often they keep doing it, and all the prayers that they've made, and confessions they've made. If they keep doing it, then God's going to turn up the spankings. That's their direction. And again, that's the direction the King James guys have done nothing but confuse the whole Christian scene out there with their yakking, and they're talking about this King James Bible is the Word of God, and if you don't believe it, God will get you. That whole thing. Because they've got to go to Gospels, they've really got to go to Peter, and Hebrews, and that sort of a thing. But see, now we're going to look to Paul here. So Philippians 3:17, let's look at that one. And here's one of the things Paul says. He says, brethren, now remember, whenever he says brethren, he's not talking about Gentiles. He's talking about the Gentiles who have chosen to follow the risen Savior through their faith. So when he says brethren, he's talking to the brethren. Be followers together of me. Okay, there we go again. And mark them which walk. See, there's Paul telling us we need to follow his walk. So as you have us for an ensample. So we're to mark these people that actually walk like Paul does. So hopefully, we would be ourselves, we would be marked by somebody somewhere that they should walk like we do. And that puts a tremendous responsibility on us. See, we know that all things are lawful. So we understand our walk isn't going to do any damage to us down here other than we reap what we sow, which is really quite serious, actually. But God isn't going to chastise. We know that. We've learned that. God isn't going to punish us now or never. But what he's going to do is in the judgment seat of Christ, which I don't think many Christians modern know about that, the walk, which is nothing but works, is going to be judged, but not us. So we realize all that stuff. So we can say, well, see, all things are lawful. But we just have to be careful. We know what they are. I probably won't get them all here. We have to make sure that people don't stumble because of what we've done or said or worn or gone. We have to make sure that it's expedient. We have to make sure that it's edifying to the body of Christ if they see us do it or wear it or say it or where we go. And it can't be a power over us, which we know that's probably the biggest problem, is we can't stop some of this stuff because it's a problem. It's a power over us. As Paul said, his mind knows what to do right, but his flesh just wants to follow sin, serve sin, and we go through the same issues. Edify, expedient, judge, stumble, power over us, and what's the other one? I got my notes in Galatians here. The other one that I always keep missing, expedient, edify, not as an occasion for the flesh. So that's the stuff that'll burn. That's just the way it's going to be. Oh, good to see Sam there. So, if we're gonna follow this walk, for people to hear us say we need to consider our walk, W-A-L-K, it means we're going to follow Paul. Now, 1 Corinthians 4, let's go to 1 Corinthians 4. What we're doing, Sam, is we're just talking about the word walk, because I had somebody write to me and ask me, what do I mean when I talk about the walk? So we're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 again, where he says, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me, of which that is Paul speaking, or of whom that is Paul speaking. Then he says, for this cause, what cause? How to follow Paul. I have sent unto you Timotheus, which is Timothy 1 and Timothy 2, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. So the ways of Paul, which Paul said in Philippians, the walk, should be taught in every church. So it's not taught in hardly any church, let alone Paul's walk. That definitely is not taught in many churches. And we who have spent years and years going over the walk, like, what do I care? Well, we know that when we the day of Christ comes for us, it's either going to be through the rapture or through our dying, which some of us are not that far away. Then we know right after that comes the judgment seat of Christ. So that ought to be our number one priority, is to help us and to preach to us and show us and remind us what we should be considering. I know, it's none of my business, and I try not to make it my business, because when I do, I just get disappointed and frustrated and irritated and sometimes angry at the people that are making that happen or whatever. I need to worry about my own little circle, which is bad enough. So, then the question is, if we're going to follow what Paul teaches, and the church is supposed to teach Paul's ways, then we just kind of have to remind people that most of the churches that these people are attending, they're looking to Acts chapter what? For their model church, and that's Acts chapter 2. And we know that Paul teaches us the model church is Ephesians chapter 4. So we explain to people that when you go to Acts chapter 2, this is Peter's church here, is what it is. They're baptized. They continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And they live a life of fear, and they're looking for wonders and signs done by the apostles. And they sell everything they have, kind of a thing. And the biggest thing is to have favor with all the people. You know, that's the design of that early church. Now, that's Peter's talking right there. We go to Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, and we have a different whole design for a church. Local assembly, for the perfecting of saints. Perfecting doesn't mean living a sinless and sinningless life. It means that Christ took care of sin, so all things are lawful, but some of those things aren't expedient. Goes down that list, blah, blah, blah. And so as we grow, we become more complete, more finished as a Christian, because Paul teaches us the way of God more perfectly, in more excellent way, etc., etc. So he says here in Ephesians 4, for the perfecting of saints, to the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, and it goes on, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro. So there can be a specific doctrine that we follow. We can be aware of the dangers of following other people, other men, because they're lying away to deceive us. They're crafty. They're by the sleight of men. They don't speak the truth. They may speak in love, but they sure don't speak the truth in love. And they're not growing up into him in all things, because that's just not what they're teaching. The whole body fitly joined together, when the whole body of Christ is falling apart. And we have an imitation body of Christ. So that's what Paul brings out when he points out his things. So, wow, we got some stuff there that it helps us realize why things are the way they are and as difficult as they are. So, yes, manner of life, the walk, is Paul's ways, is Paul's affairs. It's the manner of life that Paul says we should know, and that's his. That's the walk, okay? So, realizing that we don't have to live that sinningless life, the pressure's off. But because the pressure's off, let's look to Romans chapter 12, we tend to let the flesh win because God isn't going to get us now. He'll get us in the tribulation. Well, he's not even going to get us in the tribulation. He's going to burn the stuff we're doing wrong anyway, so what's the problem here? Well, it does affect testimony. It affects our own joy, that kind of thing, you know. And besides, he says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, that you present your bodies, that's our flesh, a living sacrifice. That means we don't need to just do everything that we want to do. It's a sacrifice to live the right way, holy, acceptable unto God. And then he kind of passed it on along here with which is your reasonable service. That's the least thing you could do, is kind of how he puts that. A little guilt trip there by Paul, it seems like. And be not conformed to this world, which is the walk, the course of this world he talks about, and transformed by the renewing of our mind. So if you're going to be concerned about the walk, it's a mental thing. It's a reading of the Bible. It's not going by the feelings. It's not going by how you just think God would be, because we're talking to people that have no idea about God. There's an unknown God to them. And we're trying to show them the joy of the goodness of God, not the fear of the severity of God. It's all sorts of things we consider when we talk to people or when we ask ourselves about our walk. So, with that set for the foundation, W-A-L-K, let's just go through some verses in the Scriptures and see what Paul talks about our walk. How important is it? What is some of his advice, if you want to say advice? What does he tell us? Well, let's go to Acts 21, verse 21. 21:21. And he says here, this is one of the things we deal with here as Paul only following Christians here. Are they informed of thee that thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs? Well, you know, that Paul is telling people, listen, we don't need to follow the law anymore. So let's just kind of look at this. I'm not changing the Scriptures. I'm just going to look at this the way we perceive it today, that thou teachest all the Christians which are among the Gentiles to forsake Jesus, saying that they ought not to, you know, follow the Gospels, neither to walk after the Gospels, what he teaches in the Beatitudes and stuff. See, the same concept is there. They hassle Paul because he's telling people you don't need to follow Moses anymore. And we'd be hassled. Paul is being hassled today because we're teaching that you don't follow Jesus' teaching to the Jews. You follow the risen Savior's teachings to the Gentiles. It's so simple. And I've said this 1,000 times. I'm sorry. I keep saying the same stuff over and over here. Maybe that's why our crowds are getting so low. They're tired of hearing about it. But I wonder sometimes how they're walk is, you know. I know it's what killed the church somewhere else. Okay, so let's see what he says about the walk. But yeah, we are supposed to, Jesus' teachings aren't written to us, they're written to the Jews. So if anybody out there wants to listen to this, try to follow the walk that Paul teaches, not what Jesus teaches to the Jews. I have to make sure I say what Paul was taught by the risen Jesus, so we have to make sure they're aware of that. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 4:1. I think you probably all three of you, remember that this is the starting verse years ago that got me started into this whole thing about Paul only. I didn't have all the reason for the only, but I just sensed that it was going to be Paul only. And that's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. And I was under the impression by being brought up as a Ruckman guy, well, we just don't have the power to do the right thing anyway. We don't care what people think about our lawns and our testimony of our yard and our homes and our houses and our children and our wives and all this kind of stuff. I mean, we're just Bible people. We're just worthless little sinners. Get your heart right with God and He won't hurt you so badly. And in the meantime, don't worry about what you're doing because you really can't do anything about it anyway. That's the impression I have been given for so many years. And then I read this thing, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, as ye received of us, how ye ought to walk. That's just what they say. So, we have received, who do we receive? We receive Paul, Timothy, the stuff that he writes, that's what we're receiving. And that's the stuff in Timothy and Titus that tells us how to walk. Now, there's other things that Paul teaches, because within this walk, it isn't just a do right, do wrong walk. It's about praying. It's about having tears for other people. It's about being concerned. It's about being long-suffering. It's about being patient. It's about having grace. It's also about reproving and rebuking. It's also a part of, about avoiding and withdrawing and shunning and staying away from certain places and people because we can't deal with it, yet we still have to go to work and all that stuff. It's all what's included in the walk here. But we've received from these guys, from Paul, how we ought to walk and to please God. Just remember saying to myself, see, it's right there. We can actually walk to please God? Man, I've been taught for so many years that we can't. Well, follow Paul and you can. Follow Jesus' teaching to the Jews, and you can't. Because Romans chapter 8 says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, does that mean this particular thing you're doing is, well, see right there, you're walking in the flesh, so no, you can't please God with that thing, and He'll get you for that. That's not what He's talking about at all here. Because He says right in the next verse, but you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Are you saved? Then you're not walking in the flesh. If you're not saved, you're walking in the flesh, and you can't please God. You mean these Catholics and Lutherans and Methodists and all these good people out there, even the atheists who are doing well, living a good, godly, quote-unquote, life, doing the right thing, good works, and being good to their money and helping people out with their money, and you mean that doesn't please God? No, because see, all the good things that they're doing, they're is still full of sin. It's still attached to the sin. There's been no spiritual circumcision or operation made without Him. Now, there's so much to talk about with this stuff. That's why I could just go on and on with people. That's probably why they don't ask me things anymore. Because it just all works together as an understanding. It's a joyful thing to get. So then when you tell people about it, you just lose them. I lose them probably 2 or 3 sentences into this thing. Whoa, 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 what are you talking about? I never heard that before from my pastor. Where'd you go to school anyway? What? Oh, no, I'm just reading my Bible, and I'm rightly dividing. What is it? What do you mean? Why, you know, that's just how Paul got the reaction when he was told those people about the unknown God. You can't worship Him like that. Who do you think you are? God made you, and He doesn't need you like that. Okay. So, there's our start. Okay, now let's go back on my notes here. Let's go back here to 6:4. Romans 6:4. Here's one. Romans 6:4. There go the pages. And it says here, therefore we are buried with him by baptism. We won't even get into that. It's not a water bit. Don't even get into that. Unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So see, we're a different person now. We've got the same flesh, we get the same body. But walk in newness of life. There should be a change. And we'll save that one for us. That's a sermon by itself here, newness of life here. Just like we keep talking about the word flesh, you know. Because if you read that closely here, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So here's Christ, He's risen. He's got a new life. And these are his teachings. So if we follow Paul's teachings of this risen Christ, that's a new life we'll be living. And then there's some other verses in Corinthians, you know, et cetera, et cetera. We'll get to that later. So then we look up, we see this word flesh, because I mentioned it was a flesh thing one time in band, and the older kids who have no clue about life. I mean, I thought we were geekies and gookers back when I was a kid, but boy, the kids today talk about having no clue. But anyway, they just start laughing, you know, in the flesh, meaning skin and all that nakedness and all that stuff. So people really don't even have a concept of what the Bible talks about or what we talk about when we say the flesh, you know. So I was thinking, well, you know, maybe Sunday, if I get this thing done Sunday morning, which I should be able to, if not by tonight, then let's look at flesh on Sunday. We'll see. We'll see. It seems like a good thing to talk about. What do you talk about when you talk about the flesh, you know? Because Paul talks about it quite a bit, matter of fact. So, here we go. Romans 8:1, for example, see? There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Which apparently the Baptists don't understand that part right there. There is therefore now no condemnation. I mean, there is no condemnation. All things are lawful, you know. To them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Okay, so if we make a choice during the day and we start walking after the flesh, like Paul said he did, so then there's condemnation. God condemns us and spanks us and chastises us? No, not at all. Because, see, if we're saved according to Romans 8:9, then we're not walking after the flesh. Or we're not walking in the flesh. Well, it seems to me that if we're walking in the flesh, we can still walk after the flesh. We can still follow what the flesh wants us to do. What if we follow the Spirit, but after the Spirit, it says, not just in the Spirit, but after the Spirit, we do the things that Paul would have us to do. So there is condemnation. Well, we know from Paul's teachings that we ourselves are not condemned. I mean, that's just not going to happen. But what's the judgment seat of Christ for? To take care of those things that we did as we walked after the flesh. That stuff will burn. That has to be the answer to that, because we cannot be condemned. Simple as that. Look at verse 4, chapter 8, verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Again, there's that difference between after the flesh and in the flesh. We are not in the flesh. We've been circumcised away from that thing. But we can choose to walk after the flesh. But what God would rather have us do is that righteousness of the law, even though we're not being judged by that law anymore. Romans 10:4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. There's still a right way to do things. So the righteousness of the law, the things that are the right things to do, still could be fulfilled in us if we so chose. Are we looking at the Levitical law and all that? No, that's all Jewish stuff. We're looking at what Paul teaches here. Okay. Romans 13:13. Here's this walk. Let us walk honestly. That's a simple one. That's how we're to walk as a Christian. Walk honestly. As in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. That's just what he says. So there's a directive right there. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:7. Here's again another one that would take us some explaining to somebody. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For if we walk by faith and not we walk by faith, not by sight. Well, see, this is what the modern Christian would say. Well, we're just going by faith. Keep my faith strong, and I can do this. Well, two things. One is we got to remember Corinthians, Jewish mixed crowd in there, and it was spoken and done before the King James Bible, that which is perfect has come. And when that which is perfect had come, then this stuff was transferred to the book. There is no God showing, telling you in part knowledge. There is no speaking in tongues. there is no prophecy. That's all within the Bible now. If you put that all together, yes, we walk by faith today. We don't walk by sight. But our faith is His faith. And our faith is trusting what He said. So we get into this book, and is that by sight? No, that's not by sight. That's by walking by faith that we trust this Bible to be the Word of God. And then God is going to show us these things. And yes, we're still walking by faith, but we have a guide. It's the Spirit of God. Yes, it's the Spirit of God, John 14, John 16, but also the Spirit of God works through this Bible, 1 Corinthians 13:10. That's where we lose the modern Christian. If we walk by faith, God will tell me, my faith will tell me whether it's right or wrong. No, don't think so. That doesn't work that way. You've got to write and divide that book and you'll see what we're talking about here. Okay, if we go to 2 Corinthians 10:3, now we see another directive regarding walking in the flesh. But now he's talking about the fact that, well, for though we walk in the flesh, we are in our bodies. I mean, we're in our bodies, not like Romans chapter 8, where we are, and Colossians 2, where we are circumcised, cut away from the flesh, from the body, our soul is. Now he's talking about, hey, listen, though we walk in the flesh, I mean, here we are. We're down here in this earth. We got this flesh we're walking in. That we're circumcised from it, but we're still in it. Romans chapter 6, we can choose to follow it. If we want, we shouldn't, but if we do, he says, we do not war after the flesh. But we do sometimes, don't we? We fight the flesh all the time. Flesh wants to eat this. Flesh wants to eat this again. Flesh wants to do this. Flesh wants to wear this. Flesh wants to feel this way. Flesh wants to go there. Yeah. We do not war after the flesh. It seems like we do, don't we? It just seems like we war after this flesh. Or we can go to the other extreme, where people say, well, I'm not going to fight the flesh. I'll just go for it. I don't want to war after the flesh. And that's how they could turn, that's how they could say that verse. Well, I'm walking in the flesh. I really am, you know, but I'm just not going to war after it. It's there. I follow it. It's just I'm not going to have any problems with myself. And that's how I'm going to be happy. Yeah, well, that is not what we're talking about here. Our war really is not... Christ took us away from the flesh. We're circumcised from it. Colossians chapter 2, verse 11 through 16. I think it is. Right? I mean, that's what we're talking about here. So he says in Galatians 5, 16. Here we go. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. There's that flesh again. See, like flesh keeps coming up in conversation here. You got to walk in the Spirit. First of all, we need to be saved. We do. He says in verse 25 the same thing. If we live in the Spirit, which we do, let us also walk in the Spirit. Okay, if we're going to walk in the Spirit, we have to be looking to how the Spirit teaches us to walk, and that's done through us, done to us through Paul. He teaches us how ye ought to walk and to please God. Following Jesus' teaching to the Jews will not give us a walk that pleases God. Well, why wouldn't it please God? I mean, it was what he told the Jews to do. Why wouldn't, if we did that, why wouldn't that please God? Well, see, there you're trying to think like God. God wants us to follow Paul's teachings. Simple. He does not want us to follow Jesus' teachings in the Gospels. He does not want us to follow Peter's teachings or Jude's teachings or James' teachings or John. He wants us to follow Paul. So we must do that, and we're going to walk in the Spirit. We're going to follow Paul, what Paul teaches. Yet we're still going to fulfill the lust of our flesh, aren't we? We still are, and lots of times our war is with our own flesh, and it shouldn't be. We must not be in our Bible very much. We must be losing our battles because we've just given up. We're giving in, and that could be a sermon in itself for quite a while, right there. But let's keep going here. Ephesians 2:10. For we are His workmanship. Ephesians 2:10. For we are His workmanship. See, before we were saved, before we had that spiritual circumcision, operation made without hands, We were not his workmanship. Well, yes, he's creator of life and all that, but we were born into a sinful world, into a wicked, perverted, lost world, cursed world. And some of us have gotten, some people have gotten sick and they've died, and it's not because they wouldn't do the Lord's Supper good enough, all that kind of stuff. They just got sick and died because they live in a cursed world. Tremendously unfair. Life is not fair. We know that. So somebody says here is that life is not fair, and they see that, well, I hear that God is controlling everything, so then God sure isn't very fair, is he? Oh, God's totally fair. He's not the one that made that happen to you. But when we become saved, and we become the Christian, we become a believer as such, now we're his workmanship. And he says in Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Again, is that that verse that tells us that God created us? No. It says, talking about good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. What's that? Good works. God has always wanted us to do the right thing and to walk in good works. He's always wanted that. Okay, let's keep going here. Ephesians 4:1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. There's that walk worthy again. Ephesians 4:17. How are we doing for time? Doing fine. Ephesians 4:17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. Well, that's that walk in newness of life stuff. That's walking in the Spirit. That's walking after the Spirit. That's not walking like another Gentile, which is a lost, his reference here is to the lost Gentiles as compared to the saved, which he calls the Church of God. So a lost person walks in the vanity of their mind. And we see the results in 18, 19, and 20. And if you look at a lot of folks that struggle with Paul's stuff, and we struggle with losing and battling and stuff, we see that what we're getting into is we're starting to walk like the lost world walks. And it's in the vanity of their mind. We start thinking we're special, we're high-minded, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we start thinking things out ourselves. No, we need to just stick to the book and stick to Paul. And with Paul's walk comes love. It does. Forgiveness, long-suffering, patience, the whole bit. And it also comes with do's and don'ts. But if you do the don'ts, you're still not going to get hammered for them. The don'ts that you did are going to be burnt in the judgment seat of Christ. Make sense? But it's the vanity of the mind that he doesn't want us. He wants us to live. He wants us to walk with the mind of Christ from our King James Bible. He actually wants us to walk with the mind of Paul. That's what really boils down to, doesn't it? Just to follow Paul. Okay. Ephesians 5:2. He does. He says this, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Now, that will come into play if I ever get around to talking about marriage and things, because this plays a lot of that. But we'll save that for another one as well. Sermon right there. Okay. Okay, Ephesians 5:8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And then what you do is you look up the word darkness, and you see in the Gospels, and you see in the tribulation, that if you're lying about what you're doing and you're walking in darkness, you're not saved. See, we were sometimes darkness. There was a time in our life we were in darkness. But now we got the light, the Word of God. So we should walk as people who read their Bible. We should walk like that. Yeah, there's a directive on how to walk to please God. That's through Paul. You see, we're no longer in darkness. You get into the Gospels, you get into 1 John, especially chapter 3, you can find out that you can go right back to that darkness again. So can we, question is then, we as Paul following Christians, can we go back into darkness? Well, we can't go back into darkness the way it's explained, but we can start stumbling again as if we're in the dark because we're not reading our book. So it's our walk, see? It's our walk that he's talking about here. He says in Ephesians 5, verse 15, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." We should know what's going on. We should be able to walk as a wise person. Not a wiseacre, but a wise person, knowing what's going on out there, knowing what's going on in the schools, knowing what's going on at your workplace, knowing what's going after your family and your children, knowing why your children are going through what they're going through, knowing what religion does, all this stuff. We can walk circumspectly, but we can walk wise. Let's look at Philippians 3:17. We did that one already. "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an example." So, see, we're not supposed to follow Jesus and his teaching to the Jews. We follow Jesus and his teachings to Paul. And we follow the way, and we follow people. We mark people that have learned to follow Paul's. Boy, not very many people are there like that anymore. How are we doing? Are we markable? Are we remarkable? I thought you'd like that. Anyway, let's see here. Philippians 3:18. One next verse over. Talking about these people that don't walk like Paul does. So he says, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping." Paul really cared. He wept over people that would not listen to him and follow him. And he says, they're the enemies of the cross of Christ. And see, that's what people tell us. They told me, we're an enemy of the cross of Christ. I am? Well, yeah, you don't preach about the cross. Well, I'm off the cross. I'm crucified and I'm risen with Christ. And we're supposed to follow the risen Savior. Yeah, well, you're an enemy of the cross of Christ. Now, that's not what he's talking about there, but you know, whatever. We look at Colossians 1:10. "That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing." Ah, pleasing, Lord. We go back to what they say and what Paul says in, where are we at here? Where's my notes here? Where's my one page here? As we go back to Thessalonians, "Received of us how you ought to walk and to please God." So if we're looking at this verse right here, and we want to, unto all pleasing, we do by what Paul teaches. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, we can increase in the knowledge of God, but being fruitful in every good work, boy, we sure don't see the fruits down here very much, do we? Sometimes we do. People write to me about the website or about stuff we talked about, or maybe they've written to you, they've grown because of you or whatever. But this, most of this fruit's going to be at the judgment seat of Christ, isn't it? There aren't many fruit baskets being filled up right now when we try to do the right thing. He says in Colossians 2:6 here, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." Of course, we know that that's not referring to Jesus, the Jewish Jesus, to the Jews. This is Christ Jesus the Lord. This is the risen Christ. This is the risen Savior through Paul. So we walk in him by walking what Paul tells us, which there's a difference there. See, there's a huge difference there. He says in 4:5 of Colossians, verse 4, chapter 4, verse 5, "Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time." But we also remember, when he says here, "Walk in wisdom toward them that are without," we have to make sure that we're not, maybe not even supposed to be there, but at certain situation, not partakers of avoid, have no company with, from such withdraw. But when we are with them, we need to walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. There's not much time. We've got to try to show them and tell them something. We're really running out of time. We're running out of time so much that people don't even care that the Bible says what it says. They don't care about God. They don't care anymore. It's just, that is not a discussable item. So we're really having little time to redeem here. So we have to walk in wisdom toward them that are without. What most people do is they walk together with them and have a good time with them. They don't say a single thing. They've changed their appearance. They've changed their modesty. They've changed the things they've said. They changed what they used to say they wouldn't do. Now they're doing it. That's not walking in wisdom. That's just giving in. Then we finish up here with 1 Thessalonians 2:12, "that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you into his kingdom and glory." A lot of good things there. He says in 1 Thessalonians 4:12 that you walk on, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without. There's that them that are without again. And that ye may have lack of nothing. Isn't that an odd combination? That ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, that ye may have lack of nothing. Interesting stuff goes on in that little section right there. And then to finish it up here, 2 Thessalonians 3:11. This is a tough one for most of our crowd, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. You ever seen those kind of people? The busybodies, always concerned about this and that, whatever in your life, all that kind of stuff. And he tells us to, you know, stay away from that. Okay. Let's finish this evening up here with a tribulational verse, Jude verse 18. Knowing that we're getting closer and closer to the tribulational days. He says in Jude 18, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. And we see that ungodly, lustful walk increasing more and more and more. Doesn't mean we're in the tribulation, but it's getting closer. Because that's what's happening. And the Paul guys can be just as guilty if they're not careful. So yes, the walk, W-A-L-K, is referring to following Paul's teachings, which are the teachings of the risen Savior, the risen Christ, to the Gentiles. We are not following the teachings of Jesus to the Jews in the Gospels. And we are not following the teachings of Peter to the Jews, who's an apostle to the circumcision, during the tribulation. Hebrews, Paul wrote, but it's all transitioning to the tribulation, which is James, 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and Jude. The walk is all about following Paul. And it's more than just do's and don'ts. It's a manner of life. It's just how you go through your life. Praying, tears, weeping, long-suffering, patience, despising what we should despise, reproving and rebuking when the time comes and it's necessary, staying away from those we're supposed to stay away from, and eventually, let them go off to the world. Let them go off to Satan. That's the worst thing. You can just let them go. If that's what they want, you let them go. God isn't going to work on them. The devil is. That's what the Bible says. That's another concept for people that can't grasp. Oh, just let God take care of them out there. Well, according to Paul, God isn't going to mess with them. God's there if he wants to call on them, but he's not going to do anything to them. So Satan is going to rub it in, make him pay. Anyway. There you go. Website, folks.